Welcome to Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I'm your host, Mira Joe. On this show, I invite guests to join me in a conversation as we listen to music together. My guest today is Justin Anchetta of Honey of the Heart. Honey of the Heart consists of Justin and Marin Metke, who have musical nectar flowing through their veins. The dynamic Grass Valley duo are the driving force behind a project that is even sweeter than it sounds. Honey of the Heart is an ambrosial mix of musical interpretations influenced by folk, soul, roots, and world flamenco stylings. Justin, welcome to Human Music.
Thank you, Myra, for having us on.
So Honey of the Heart, you'll be performing on Vashon at Snapdragon on August 7th at 7 p.m. And how did you find us? How did you find Vashon?
Oh, well, a lot of history there. The door's at 6 p.m. We're going to play till 9, Snapdragon. I've been there for the past 12 years, going up there to visit Marin and where she's from. She was raised on Vashon. So she has about 30 years on the island before heading down to California, where she met me. And we've been living there for many years since then as well. But we've been touring up through Vashon, I would say, pretty consistently over the past decade. And we're actually up here in Washington right now.
Oh, wonderful. And where's Grass Valley?
Grass Valley is Northern California in the Sierra foothills. It's about 3 hours outside the Bay Area. We wanted to raise our family kind of closer to trees and nature. So we chose the area where I actually was raised as well. I was raised around the Grass Valley area.
That's amazing. And so it sounds really beautiful over there. And so did you start making music together? How did you both start making music together?
Well, you know, Marin and I both have had our own projects for decades before us meeting. We've had our own lives for quite a while. I think I was 33 and she was 38 when we met. And we had a mutual drummer, Marlon Aldana. He came up from Mexico to be a professional drummer. And Marin was recommending him to go to the Bay Area to really pursue his dreams. And he met me down there playing music, and he became my drummer. And then Marlon told Marin, hey, you need to pursue your dreams in the Bay. Come move to the Bay. And you also need to meet Justin. And so, long story short, Marlon and Marin came over to my house to play some music in Oakland, and we sang together, and I asked her to record a new song of mine, Boom Cartier, which is out there in the world now. Mm. And that was the beginning of us collaborating on music. And we were doing just music for a good 6 months, very professional and clean friendship relationship. And then it melded into us becoming a partnership and then having our daughter, you know, 4 or 5 years later.
That's a beautiful story. I know it's so interesting playing with other musicians and creating music together because it is such an intimate experience. And it is one of those things that's really difficult because you're kind of burying a part of yourself that is very vulnerable and authentic. And so it does create a lot of intimacy. So it's great that you're able to find both the music and the intimacy.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because right before we met, both of us had dynamics, where we were, you know, dating in the music scene, and we kind of told each other, okay, we're not going to date in the music scene on purpose because it just doesn't work out entirely. And so it was kind of ironic that then we found each other and created a family.
I love that. I'm sure. I mean, I feel like your two voices are really, I don't know, melded together in a way that it does feel very complimentary, but also in sync. And so did you always have that, or is that something that's deepened with your relationship?
It's definitely, we've had to work on certain things. I mean, I've been harmonizing my whole life, and she has as well, working on rhythm and pitch. So when we came together, it's similar to any band. It's like we needed to find out what feel each of us had. And in the process, it's like I wasn't trying to like teach her and she wasn't trying to teach me, but we were trying to learn each other and learn from each other. Hopefully in any relating that that happens, it kind of goes both ways. There's a really good example. There's a song we cover, Mama, by Bob Dylan. It doesn't sound like Bob Dylan at all. I think there's a version of it out there on Bandcamp of us doing it. But Maren kept singing it with a very unique rhythm. And I felt like she was kind of like not being consistent with her voice. And it was really frustrating to me because I couldn't get it down. And it ended up being that I'm not sure if she got more consistent or I started listening to her more. But we learned how to do it exactly the way that she was kind of dreaming it up in the moment. And then we just kind of locked that in. So, yeah. And then from that point, it becomes an art piece that can hopefully, you know, be appreciated from that point.
I love that because it is one of those things when you're playing with other music, it's a lot of give and take and trust. And so I feel like that shows that you have trust in each other and you trusted her in that moment to have a vision of what that song is. And you went with it, you know, in improv, it's always like, it's always yes. You know, whenever somebody does something, you always say yes. And I think, you know, when you have really strong ideas of what a song should sound like or where you're going, it's easy to get really locked in and attached to our ideas. But when you're playing with other people, I think that is part of the magic, is that they're introducing their perspective. And the question is, can you say yes to it?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I'm actually out of NBC Family Camp with Maren right now because we run these in different California and Washington in between our tours. And it's as much as the yes, it's also we're looking for the clear no. And how can we have the yes and the no also be like some language and thread we can pick up on that doesn't like erode, but also like it builds on, like maybe the no turns into like, and then like there's something new that comes out. Yeah. It's like, I think Maren's actually said no to a lot of weird ideas of mine, but then because I tried out another idea on my fifth try or something, then it turned into a yes, and vice versa for both of us. We're they always say like you're your own critic.
Yes.
And it's like, well, your partner can also be your worst critic as well.
Yes.
And it's like, how can we also have capacity to like take a deep breath and like kind of work through those, you know, challenges and then create beauty out of it, really? Because a lot of people project, you know, because we harmonize that, oh my gosh, your life must be perfect, this and that. And it's like, that is definitely not the case. We're humans, and art is actually there to like magic make and change, you know, some dark into light and vice versa, and create some type of empathy in these moments.
Yeah, there is that tension. I think good songs, there is a tension between something that sounds cohesive and, you know, synced up, and then introducing elements that kind of stretch the song in different directions and take risks with songs. And that's always an interesting journey. I was curious, and we're going to listen to your songs later in the show, but there's one song where there's some digging deep, where there is some, you know, hip hop or, you know, some rhythmic things going on. And so I love that you have this openness to stretch the songs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want to create positive, you know, things that can uplift people. But also if you're too positive, it's like you can't connect to the underbelly of reality, which is like pretty dark. And there's a lot of loneliness and isolation out there in the world. And how can it be represented? It's like, there's a minor chord, there's a diminished, and how can we play with that to create the light and dark? And it's like the palette of a painting or something.
I've been thinking a lot about letting go of ego. And do you feel like there are moments where you have a hard time letting go of your ego when you're making music with another person?
Oh, wow. Ego. That's a whole conversation there. Yeah, talking to musicians and, art forms. I really feel like if I was always to do music with myself, I wouldn't have a mirror to look at myself or see myself through someone else's eyes. And any challenging moment of playing with someone else, it's an opportunity to actually dissolve the ego. And I definitely, I've been in one consistent band for I think 12 or 13 years, and we got really tight. But also, there was a lot of ego involved with our relating with ourselves and each other. And looking back at that time, I really wish I knew what I know now of just like, I really wanted to be more loving and compassionate and more clear with my word. And I guess that's, I believe, the connecting piece of Honey of the Heart is Marin and I both have that true intention of like, we want to be our best word and our best selves. And when our ego pops up, we want to use it for good and let it dissolve as well as best we can. And when I say use our ego, it's like a lot of people don't have agency in life to like step into the performance role. And there is something really powerful to say, like, I'm going to do this thing that is really scary. It's my edge. And we need more good people to do that right now.
Sounds like your musical journey has been a journey of growth and maturity. And I like to ask my guests, the first memory you have of listening to music or making music that has left as a impression on you.
Oh man. It's interesting you say that because like pictures that I saw influenced me. I think I was probably like 4 or 5 and I saw a picture of my dad playing ukulele to me when I was like a baby. And because I saw the picture, it incited the memory of hearing it almost. And yeah, so that's in me. At some level is like before I remember, I remember or something. Yeah, and my grandmother, she re was really av an avid. She wanted me to play violin and piano and taught me at 6, 7 years old piano. And then she passed away from a brain tumor within the year, and it was sad for our family. But she gifted some money to my mom to buy me a violin and said, I want Justin to continue violin. And so that became my instrument for all of elementary school until high school. And I always said I wouldn't play guitar because everybody plays guitar. I think it's something that my grandma said. But my dad was really an amazing guitarist. He is a guitarist, ukuleleist, played in bands from Hawaii and stuff. And it ended up being that at 12 years old, I took all of my allowance for my entire life and I bought an electric guitar. And I actually almost stayed up the entire night thinking like, what have I done? I spent all my money on this thing and I don't even know how to play it very well. But it really became my passion and my life. I went through, all the way through college, classical guitar, went to Spain and Oakland studying flamenco. And world music. And so I guess my first thing that comes to mind, I mean, the 80s, right where I grew up in, Boyz II Men, Janet Jackson, a bunch of indie rock from the 90s, probably.
So this story, I'm going to go back to the story about your grandmother. It's very moving to me and touching to me. I feel oftentimes that my grandmother in her death is closer to me than when she was living, because she actually lived across on the other side of the world. So in her death, I imagine that she's able to come to me so much easier than having to travel and fly a plane. And it makes me think of, the violin and guitar, and, they're made of wood. These are living, breathing beings. And I just imagine, like, your grandmother enabling you to have that violin and kind of infusing her spirit into it, and that spirit, you know, move through you, even if you were stumbling along as a kid learning the violin. It's a very powerful, music is, and instruments are so powerful, and the instruments we care for are so precious to us, you know, and they have stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, just even caring for them, it's almost like, you know, learning how to care for a doll, then eventually you learn how to care for a baby or something like that. Yeah, the violin was definitely like rosining my bow and cleaning it every time I used it. There was definitely like memories of my grandmother's desires in there. And I didn't feel pressure from it all, just a lot of love, honestly.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. A friend of mine said he can tell when he's going to enjoy the show or the musicians by the way they handle their instruments before they even start playing. And I always felt that was true.
That's cool. Yeah, you know, you mentioned your grandmother and the like grandmother energy, and like three things popped into mind. One is that my grandmother from Hawaii on my dad's side, my other grandma, she kind of, I only saw her once a year or so, every couple of years, because it was the distance of California and Hawaii. And my last time seeing her, I wanted to write her a song to like, just like let her know that I'm going to be okay with or without having a child or having like a wife, because I didn't know that was going to happen in my life. I was really about the music. And just, I wanted to bless her up, just being this grandmother, great grandmother, who's like been this elder tree for all of us in Hawaii. And the song Boon Karie came to mind. It's a song in 31. And I biked around the island for 7 days and wrote the song. And I sang it one time to her, just the chorus, because I didn't really know the lyrics of the other parts yet. And she passed away about 3 months later, or a couple months later. And then 3 months later, I met Maren.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the song she sang in the studio with me.
What?
And she became my wife, and now I have a kid.
Oh my gosh.
And so like when you said, you know, once they pass, they might be closer to you. It's like she kind of had the power to be like, well, I've been asking you, when are you going to have your, you know, wife and kid here for, you know, almost 15 years. And within a year, I met my wife and then had my kid 4 years later.
You needed a little bit of help.
And this is even some crazier stuff is that Maren and her share the same birthday.
Wow.
It's like,
wow.
It's mind blowing.
No wonder you both sound so in sync in your music. And it's great to hear how that happens and the behind the scenes, because it's very apparent when you listen to your songs.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I've been talking with my guest, Justin Encheta, from the group Honey of the Heart. So Justin and Maren are Honey of the Heart, and they'll be performing on August 7th at Snapdragon, and the doors open at 6 p.m. August 7th.
Yeah, and for all you Vashon folks that know Maren Metke, it's always like a family reunion when we get back to Vashon, and it's so sweet and special to see all of you and meet Maren's family.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was listening to your songs, I did feel like, oh, this music is perfect for Vashon. So now it makes sense.
Yes, it's a Vashon local singing.
I love it. I love it.
From years past, decades past.
So on this show, I ask, we listen to music together and we talk about it. And so I've asked you to pick a song for us to listen to together. And can you tell us the song that you chose?
Oh, let's see here. Shadow is one of them.
The song that Roots and Wings by Coco.
Oh,
Love,
got it.
Alcorn. It's
awesome,
right?
Yes. Yeah, we chose Roots and Love. It's a special song that Maren Metke actually really loves. So it's sweet. She's not on this call, but she's kind of putting her voice into, you know, bringing this song about. And you want me to kind of share what we love about the song?
Let's listen to it. And then you can share what you love.
Beautiful.
Lately I've been thinking, I said lately I've been thinking about roots and wings, how I need these things. I've been thinking about roots and wings, how I need these things. I need roots in the ground to keep me strong. About roots and wings, how I need these things. I need roots in the ground to keep me strong, and I need wings so I can fly.
Wow, Roots and Wings by Coco Love Alcorn. That was, thank you so much for introducing me to this song. I really heard how the lyrics and her singing told the story together when she was saying, you know, wings to fly. Her voice just felt and sounded like it was flying. And then the second half with the roots, really felt, she felt grounded in the song and in the earth. And it's interesting that we were talking about kind of the tension of things, but also, you know, passing the spirit of people who stay with us, and this idea of being in the ground and also being in the air and being everywhere is just such a beautiful image. And so thank you for sharing this with us. And what meaning does this song have for you?
Yeah, just honoring Maren Medke, who introduced it to me, my partner of Honey the Heart. So I can't speak for her, but she really loves this song. What I really love about it is obviously the lyrics, you know, resonate with, kind of what you said around being rooted, but also having wings. I feel like it's kind of like to be human, we kind of need both. We need to be really grounded, but we also need to be able to be shapeshifters. And when we come up against challenges, we need to be able to rise to the occasion, maybe fly to a better location. Who knows? Also, what comes to mind is grief and praise. If we can kind of get through the hardships, we can get into the gratitude for life. And I feel like this song is very praising. It's very gospel sounding. And also rhythm is such a big part of music for me.
Yeah.
And there's something like when there's a feel and a beat that it feels grounded, it feels rooted. Mm-hmm. I gravitate toward it, and this is a song that resembles that. Like, it has a backbeat. Mm-hmm. I guess the messaging is on point with what I want to see out there in the world, and also hoping people can like experience and feel into is like the edge of just like being super rooted, and then also like go on the edge of, you know, your hardest part and be able to jump off and take flight as well. And I think that with that, I think humanity would rise up to the hardships that and the challenges that will happen, you know, on this earth and plane.
Yeah, music really does have the power to elevate and reflect the human experience in a way that is true to the experience, but completely different also. And that's why I feel like voices are so powerful. So to hear you both harmonize, it's like the voice is the first instrument and it's so rooted in our experience. And I heard in your songs, the Honey of the Heart songs, also the sense of praise or gospel. And so that thought did go through my mind when I was listening to your songs. And so I find it interesting that you are tapped into that.
Yeah, I think I would like to be more tapped into it. There's when you think of gospel and like the gospel churches and singing, it's like you can't sing it like feeling afraid. It's like you have to fully get into the gut of your voice and like really get it out. So it just kind of creates like, it's also comes from so much agency of like, you know, hardship, and then coming into like, we're still here, you know, and like, we're going to praise life and like still exist and create beauty in art. It's really powerful.
Yeah. I have such a hard time with, you know, being like creating music and then listening to it and then being the editor all of a sudden, and you know, how do I make this sound better, or that didn't quite go right there. And so I get stuck in that, and it really kind of suffocates the song. And so I have to remember exactly what you're saying, that it's not about what it sounds like, it's about the experience of it. And some people are more skilled than others, but I think regardless, you know, it's, you know, the important thing is to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard some like timid voices singing, and you can almost hear in the recording like how probably challenging it was to first get the sound out, but then they practiced it over and over and over again, and to the point where it's beautiful, and it actually gives voice to like the timid and the meek. And it's like, that's also necessary just as much as the big gospel voice. There's like really no wrong way to go in music.
No.
You know, it's interesting. I say that, and like, there's a critic, you know, like you just talked about the critic of yourself, like, you know, doing your own editing or something. And like, there's something really beautiful about learning how to like attune pitch and rhythm from these moments, but not get sidetracked and too like doing too much in that. I'm not sure where I'm going with that. It's like it's a fine balance. You want to chime in and tell me where I'm going?
Yeah, I know. It's like, when do you know it's done? Not done as in like this is the perfect song, but when do you know to step away? And sometimes I know when to step away, and sometimes I don't know when to step away. And when I listen back to the different iterations of the song, I'm like, oh, I should have stepped away at that point. And then sometimes you step away because whatever it's happening is not working in the moment and you need more experience, maybe life experience. You need to be in a different place in your life before you can revisit the song and be like, oh, maybe this is the time for this song. And I don't know if that is building on what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's like multiple hats to wear in the studio, and it's like, it'd be nice just to be the artist. I think some amazing artists have been able to do that. Mm-hmm. They just stay in the creative zone and somebody else kind of starts chiseling away at what they put down. Mm-hmm. But hearing you, I can definitely relate, which is like, I've been our producer and had to edit and refine and chisel away in the process in the studio. And that's a whole other art form. And it's almost like going into a different part of the brain.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I like to actually give myself a lot of grace. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm in my creative side here and I'm going to limit how much technology I'm going to use. I'm just going to record. And then I'll come back and be like, okay, now I'm in the other side, you know, kind of chipping away at this art piece, and I'm not the artist. I'm more of like the listener aspect of it. That's been helpful to me.
It's helpful also that when you're recording, there's this studio part of it and the producing side of it, and there's a wall or window separating the two. So physically, it kind of is helpful to be on one of those sides of the wall. But yes, like being on both sides of the wall at the same time is impossible.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a lot of experiences with the wall and the studios on that side, with the big console going to the plant, and, you know, Avast Studios up in Washington, just up and down the coast. And I've learned enough engineering to where at my two studios, we do have walls, but most often we've been recording all the overdubs in the same room because we've there's no reason to isolate. Because we just turn off the playback speakers and we have our headphones, and then we go right into hearing back with the good speakers. So it is something that I think takes a lot of time to cultivate. It's almost like another instrument, but I encourage people to take that on and like really have patience with like that art form, because how beautiful is it to actually take an art piece and be able to like, you know, learn how to use the hammer and all the different chisels and things to then be like, okay, I know how to mix and master this now. It's a really sweet, sweet tool.
You have a lot of tools. Both you and Marin are multi-instrumentalists. So can you tell me all the different instruments that go into making your music?
You know, I always had like a desire to play more instruments. I had like violin and guitar and piano and vocal and recorder background. But like, I didn't really say I was a multi-instrumentalist. And then when I became a father, I really was, I didn't want to do what my dad did, which when he became a dad, he got a job and stopped doing music at a more professional level. Mm. And I feel like he wished that he did that. There was something that he really still wanted to hold on to, and I don't know if he needed to let go of it. There were maybe lack of belief that he could continue doing it and have a family. So when I had my daughter 8 years ago with Marin, I bought a hung drum, and I didn't know how to play a hung drum, but I play percussion. But it was my desire to always have an instrument in the house that I don't know how to play, so that I can stay young and naive and be a learner and always know, like, if my ego ever gets like, I know everything about guitar, it's like, well, let me go pick up a charango over here in alt tuning. And so since then, it's been 8 years of me collecting instruments, and I'm done now because I can't collect anymore.
I love that.
But right now I have like a banjo, a mandolin, a charango, a tres, a hung drum, a didgeridoo. That's another instrument I used to play a lot. And then it's really sweet when I'm in the studio, we have like a melody or like a rhythm coming out of us. And once we lay down the basics to the click track, I can get really creative and start just pulling things off the wall. And that's been really dreamy for me to do that. It's been a little scary for Marin because, like, you know, all of a sudden I'm like playing a didgeridoo over something that she thought a piano might go over.
Right.
So
she has to trust you.
Maybe trust, and also know that we can always erase, right? Mm-hmm. And start over again. Because we might do that, you know, many times. And who knows, we might. I always really tell Marin and myself, this is something that I heard a long time ago. It's like, write 100 melodies and songs and know that like 3 to 6 might stand out. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be afraid to continue doing melodies. And when one stands out, it will. And I know that sometimes we've gotten stuck on like, we have to get this out, and we've gritted it out. And maybe eventually it comes out, but like it was a lot of work. And I don't know if it was necessary to go through that much work for that song when another one might just pop out, you know? And sometimes it is worth it. It's really up to how much you want to chisel away at that specific rhythm and melody.
Yeah, there's space in creating music for all of those experiences. And what I hear you saying is it's, doesn't have to be about one thing all the time. And that's what makes a creative process interesting, is having different kinds of creative experiences, even if you're playing the same, or new instruments. Yeah. And I love the beginner's mind aspect of it too, of learning new instruments, because there is something special about just hitting a note on an instrument and hearing how it resonates. And you kind of lose that after playing an instrument for a while. You kind of lose the awe and the magic of just hearing that one note, that one string, that one hit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what I think of is in flamenco learnings, there's like a lot of accuracy around, okay, this is the bulerias and this is the tangos, and it has to be very structured a certain way. Mm. And as I was learning it, and as I got farther into it, I'm like, okay, what now? What now? And all of a sudden, the final piece is, okay, you must forget everything you've learned and improvise. And I was like, what? And it's actually such a great analogy for life. It's like we can create these tools and, you know, methods of schoolings and learnings, but at the end of the day, it's we have to improvise our way through. And each song is going to be an entirely new song. Each life, each meeting, each show. Like I can play the same song, you know, 1,000 times. And depending on where I'm at and who's around, you know, it impacts what it looks like in the room.
Yeah, and I think this is the magic of music. I love that you have a camp too, that you work on when you're not performing and touring. And it's really so critical. And I hate to get into, you know, the music programs being defunded and the art programs being defunded for young people, but it really is when you create a sound, whether it's your voice or an instrument or just hitting the table or a bucket, you know, there is something that connects us intuitively to, I like that, or I don't like that, or I want this to sound like this, or I don't. And there's this inner voice that we learn to listen to as we explore music. And that's very special. I think that would help many young people in all parts of their lives. It's helped me in my life.
Yeah, totally. It's like there's a lot of structure out there to follow. It's like, okay, you're supposed to learn how to do math now and read in very specific ways, you know, left to right, and here's your right hand to to write with. And yeah, it's like, where does our intuition come in and kick in? It's like, well, it's something impacting us, like hearing a sound, and it like it moves some kind of feeling in us, and it's, and then we have to like trust our intuition from that space. And like, man, what a lifelong goal is to start trusting our own intuition. Like, I hope that I can pass that to my daughter.
Absolutely. I have a feeling you are going to be passing that to your daughter. I don't have any doubts. If you're just joining us, this is Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. And I've been talking with my guests, Justin and Chetta, from Honey of the Heart. And Honey of the Heart will be performing August 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Snapdragon. So that is coming up here on beautiful Vashon Island. And so, and a native Vashonite, Marin, is also in Honey of the Heart. So that would be a wonderful homecoming for her. Can you tell us a little bit about what our listeners can expect at the show?
Yeah, well, I just want to name Marin Medke again, and her name, and also what comes to mind is, do you know Doug Dolstad and Barbara Larson on Island?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I don't, but my producer Truman does.
Okay. So their land actually is where Marin used to live. And that's where this camp that I'm at right now, I'm like almost in tears saying this. They started this camp on Vashon, like in 2005 or 2004. And there's kids that were at that initial camp for the past, you know, 23 years that are here running the camp now.
Wow.
And it is so amazing to see and witness in my lifetime, you know, just in the past 12 years, I met them as teenagers and now they're like in their late 20s, 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, Jeremy's here helping run it with Marin, and Melissa is in the kitchen, and I think she was 5 years old her first time at camp.
Oh my gosh.
And she's ran the kitchen herself last year.
Wow.
So, and this is all Vashon roots. People coming to the island from all over the states to practice NVC and empathy and reflective listening on Doug's farm on that north side there. And that was the influence of like, I think I can have a kid in this world. If there's places that are like this and people are this like empathetic and kind and heartwarming. And so... that was my hope to have a child. And luckily I got to have a kid with Marin who runs these camps.
That's beautiful. So is it just the two of you who are going to be performing?
At this point, yes, we're hoping to reach out to some local friends. I don't want to name any names at the moment because I don't want to have false hopes, but, yeah, we love collaborating with, our local friends there from the past, and there's a possibility of some guests. But right now it's just us. And we're really grateful to be back at the Snapdragon. I think my first experience there was in 2014 when I first met Marin on our first tour up here.
Wow. This is really wonderful. August 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Snapdragon, Honey of the Heart. And Justin, it's been wonderful having you as a guest and speaking with you today.
Thanks for having us, having me here, Myra, and just like, there's the combination of like what space you're holding on Voice of Vashon and being here at camp, and I, just this like connection to what Marin is on the island, was on the island, and still is. Her heart is really there. It's really special. So thank you for holding this space for us.
So you've been listening to Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I am your host, Mira Joe, and I've been talking with Honey of the Heart, Justin and Chetta. They'll be performing August 7th, 6 to 9 at Snapdragon. And we will end the show with some songs by Honey of the Heart, Coming Home, Shadow, Digging Deep. Is there anything you want to say about these songs that we're going to be playing from your Bandcamp page?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to say about all of them. But this the Shadow Song, which is the softest tune in there, I just want to name it's an ode to oneself. And I hope that it brings some light into the darkness areas. So to allow us to remember that we will climb the highest mountain for ourselves, and having that agency to remember that and do that.
Wonderful. Let's listen to some Honey of the Heart here on KVSH LP Vashon. Thank you.
song anyway. It's cold outside and we are driving, we are driving, we are coming home. It's less than clear than we imagine, we imagine, we are dreaming. On. We know we can, 'cause we are magic, we are magic, we have done it before. It's cold outside and we are driving, we are driving, we are coming home. It's cold outside and we are driving, we are driving.
Soil.